Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Tessie.
And we are sisters-in-law. We started this podcast because we believe there are incredible women doing incredible things in this world, and we want to shine a spotlight on all of them. We might not hear about these women on the radio or see their pictures in magazines, but we know that they are doing amazing things from their corners of the world. Today, the podcast is moving from the Midwest of the United States to Sub-Saharan Africa. We talked to Efrancia Nzota in Tanzania, and we can't wait to share her story with you.
I know, sister, welcome back. I missed you so much when you were gone.
Thank you. I missed you too. It's hard being without, you know, any real communication. I think we were able to message a little bit on Facebook, but yeah, it's good to be back where I feel a little more connected with the world.
Yeah, the interesting part is that, yeah, you had sometimes some spotty availability on Facebook Messenger, but it always felt like we'd get into a really great conversation where we were sharing exciting details, and then you'd drop off, and I'd be like, oh, God.
I know.
Just left with an even bigger hole in my heart.
Oh, you're the sweetest. I know. It was a great trip. It was a long trip. It's great to be back, and a lot of stuff happened while I was away.
It did. Yeah, so maybe you noticed that there were some advertisements at the beginning of the episode, maybe throughout it, towards the end. We had something exciting happen. It happened just before you left, but we kind of got it all into place while you were gone. Some good folks from Blog Talk Radio got in touch with us and just liked what we were doing and kind of asked us to be one of their premier hosts, which was amazing.
Yes, this is so exciting, and it unfolded so quickly, and we just couldn't be more thrilled. So thanks for all the work that you did, Tessie, while I was gone, getting it all into place. And now that we're kind of back here doing our thing, it's really exciting for what we now have access to and for what's to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, it just, you know, we've talked before about how Amazon and Audible help kind of reach other mama bears and give us a bigger platform. And really, essentially, that's what Blog Talk Radio is going to do as well and allow for as well. And they kind of focus on the stuff that you and I didn't really want to focus on, because our love and our passion is finding women who will inspire and encourage other mama bears to just be more of themselves, right? It allows us to do that. So it's so exciting. And then Leslie, new and noteworthy. Hello! Hello!
You know, just last night, I was leaving a restaurant. We were out celebrating our mother-in-law's birthday. Shout out to Terry. And, you know, it was 8 o'clock, I think. And I was like, you know, Tessie's calling, which is weird because I'm pretty sure she's usually in bed by now.
True.
And so I picked up the phone, and sure enough, you told me that we made the new and noteworthy section on iTunes, which is so exciting. And so I'm so thankful, as I know you are, to everyone that made that possible, because really we had nothing to do with it. It's our awesome fans that put us there. So that's super exciting.
It really is. So if you followed us on our social media pages, you knew we made new and noteworthy in kids and family section earlier on, like right away, almost instantly when the podcast came out. But this is over the general. So this crosses health, wellness, comedy, I mean, every sector.
And clearly it was our comedy.
I mean, I think it was. Okay. But the biggest excitement piece of that was it just shows that the women that we're interviewing are connecting to a larger audience like we knew there would be, right? We knew there were people out there like us wanting to talk about stuff other than diapers, you know? And so it feels so cool. So we wanted to celebrate. So Leslie, tell our listeners how we're celebrating.
So we are going to give away a $50 gift card to Amazon. It's so fun. It's so fun. Yes. So all you need to do, listeners, is if you would hop on iTunes, leave us a review, You'll be entered to win. If you've already given us a review, thank you very much. You are already entered to win this $50 magical card. If you haven't left a review, do that now. And again, we appreciate it. We appreciate you. And we're just, let's give away some dollars.
Some joy. Some joy. I mean, you called it magical. And don't you feel like gift cards are magic? I always feel like when I hand them over, like the jig is going to be up, you know, they're going to ring it and be like, what are you talking about? There's no money on this. You have to pay for all of these things, but it never happens. There's money on it. And so I get these things for free that I've been wanting. I mean, you guys get access to that. And all you have to do is leave an iTunes review. I mean, that's free.
Right. Know? Yeah. So we hope you win.
Yeah.
Good luck. We're talking to you, and thank you for the support, and let's keep doing this. I'm having fun.
I know. You were in Tanzania, which for our listeners who don't know the map, which is totally fine because it's been a while, that's in Africa. So talk to us about your time in Tanzania.
So yes, I had the chance to go to Tanzania for 11 days with the organization that I contract with called Empower Tanzania. And basically I do their communications. So they sent me there with a photographer, and actually we've interviewed said photographer, Jenny Pekin. We'll link her interview in the show notes, but she and I went just to basically gather information, to find out stories, really take pictures, and just kind of learn all that we could, soak up the culture, soak up the people, and then report back to our donors here. And while we were there, I just couldn't help but think it would be an awesome opportunity to talk to a mom living in sub-Saharan Africa while I was there. So I talked to Efrencia, who is a program manager. She manages the Improving Women's Health programs that Empower Tanzania does. She is a new mom. She just had a baby 5 months ago. And we talked at the hotel that I was staying at, the hotel Nzoroko was what it was called. And we had done a really long training that day with some of our community health workers that we train. It was a really long day. It was a really hot day. And Efrencia, she was so sweet to come to the hotel and give myself and our listeners just sort of a glimpse of what her life is like there. So it was so much fun. And I appreciate her just enormously. She's an amazing person.
She is. And I appreciate you with this idea. I was so excited about it too, but I've been on similar trips like this and I'm like, will there really be time? But you did it, and it's such a good interview. I was really, really impressed by that. And just a quick note, you all should hop on Facebook. We will link to it in the show notes, but Jenny took beautiful pictures while there, stunning pictures, and she has them on her Jenny Pekin Photography Facebook page, so we'll link to that so that you guys can see some of the images that she took there, because they were stunning. Her images with your words, I think, is going to be incredible for Empower Tanzania.
Well, I think it will be too, just in the fact that, you know, the typical thing that you see when you travel, you're kind of limited a lot of times by the type of trip you're taking. And by traveling to Tanzania with this organization, we were just given such incredible access to, you know, what it's really like to live there. And so in particular, Jenny's work, it's, oh my gosh, just the access that she was able to have into these really remote places that honestly, like, not a lot of photographers get to see these things up close and in such a personal way. So her photos are absolutely stunning.
Yeah, I agree.
So you'll listen to this conversation that Efrencia and I have, and I'm assuming that our listeners are going to kind of come to the same conclusion that I did. And basically it's this, that our joys and triumphs as mothers and as women are universal. We sat across from each other in this hotel and we, you know, talked about the most basic things that kind of bind us together as women and as, you know, as moms. And it's just remarkable. We sit down with friends, we have so much in common, and then we travel across the world and we sit down and find that we have so much in common with the people that are there. Yes. So one thing that I was really excited to ask Ephra about and just to share with our listeners was her experience giving birth. Mm-hmm. She has a 5-month-old named Alicia, and you'll hear her birth story, and I mean, who doesn't love a good birth story?
It's true.
Right? It's true. Mm-hmm. Like, we love to tell them, we love to hear them, and she just gave birth 5 months ago, and so it was just so fun to listen to her story. And birth, in a lot of ways, is really similar in Tanzania as it is here, but in other ways, it's incredibly different. Mm. So you'll hear some of that in the interview that we do.
Yeah, one of the things that I loved was just that, like, it reminded me when my mom tells my birth story, how even then, not that long ago, men were not really in birthing rooms. This was not a thing. Like, they were smoking cigars with their friends or something outside. All the women were in labor. And so it was so interesting to hear, even just like that small snippet. I think she talked about it for 10 seconds or something about her husband's role in the birth.
Yes, it's fascinating. You know, and she gave birth in a hospital, or more than half of the births in Tanzania occur at home. And there is kind of this elevated maternal mortality rate, which is really interesting. And it struck me on this trip, and this was after I had talked with Efrencia about her experience, that we often meet childbirth or the news of a pregnancy with absolute sheer joy, you know, a little bit of fear, but mostly joy, because we're pretty certain that we're going to give birth and be okay.
Yeah.
And in Tanzania, in a lot of places in the world, that's not necessarily a guarantee.
Right.
So a lot of people, you know, living especially in these rural places where there is not access to healthcare, I think there's 2 doctors for every 100,000 people in Tanzania. Mm-hmm. So it's just a different kind of experience. When you find out you're pregnant, you're really excited, of course, but living there, you're also a little bit nervous about, like, okay, this isn't going to be a death sentence, is it? So a lot of the births occur at home. Only 46% are assisted by a doctor or even a nurse. Mm-hmm. So it's just a really different experience. And obviously Ephra was able to deliver in a hospital, and, you know, but it still looked a lot different. So we'll let you listen to Ephra kind of tell that part of the story.
Yeah.
Don't you love Ephra's mom?
Yeah.
I loved hearing about Ephra's mom and the way she was a mama bear in this situation.
Yes. Yes.
And just a kind of a side note, a little bit of history that we didn't go into with Efrencia in the interview, is that her mom actually was the one who ensured that Ephra went to school. A lot of children in Tanzania, in particular girls, don't attend school. They're kept home to do chores, to collect water, to collect firewood, things like that. Or it's too cost prohibitive for them to go. Mm-hmm. So families, the education is free, but you still have to buy uniforms and supplies. And that averages about $25 a year. And for people who are making, you know, less than $1 a day that have multiple children, it's just not possible. Mm-hmm. So Ephra's mom was a teacher, and she insisted to her husband that Ephra would go to school. And she found a way to send her. She paid for it herself. And then, you know, Ephra went on to secondary school, which is incredible. Only 16% of women in Tanzania attend secondary school.
Yeah.
And then she went on to college. So she's really just a remarkable person. I'm talking about Ephrencia, but also her mom, to be so insistent. And it's a fascinating thing, I think.
I know our listeners might be familiar with Malala. She's mm-hmm. the young girl who was shot in the head for going to school and lived. And now, I mean, she's won the Nobel Peace Prize. Like, she's this incredible. You actually bought her autobiography for Dayla for
yes.
Christmas.
And you know so what? Let me interject. So her autobiography is fantastic, but then there's a kid's version of her autobiography, and that's what I bought for Dayla. It's like for the mid-level reader.
Yeah.
So it's great for kids. If you have kids that are interested in the world or interested in any sort of social justice, it's such a great book.
It is. And for those of you who would be worried, I was a little worried that it would be graphic, but because you bought the younger reader one, mm-hmm. it really wasn't. She mentions it. I don't even think she really talks about getting shot. She just talks about waking up in the hospital. So, you know, no problems there. Mm-hmm. But you listeners might be more aware of her story. And it reminded me of that a little bit when you were talking about her mom, because Malala, it was her dad that mm-hmm. continued to, you know, reinforce education and things like that. And Malala is a lot like Efrancia, where she clearly, because she was one of those that was able to go to secondary school and then to college, she clearly takes it upon herself to then make her country better. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, she has the weight of her country on her shoulders, as does Malala. It reminded me a lot of that, of just the pressure that they must feel to be productive with their education. Whereas in America, you know, you have your master's, I have my bachelor's, like we have college degrees and we got to choose to stay at home. You know, like there was no risk of us disappointing an entire community, to be sure, and mm-hmm. seemingly a nation on us. Like, we had no pressure for that. So not that life in America is, for a woman, is always easy, but certainly I cannot relate at all to that pressure.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. When you're one of the few that get to attend secondary school, much less go to college, you've got to feel a little bit of pressure to mm-hmm. give back.
Efra also mentions the program that she works with. Can you tell listeners a bit more about that? I was interested, but I didn't know the details.
Yes. So one of the programs that Efra manages is called Improving Women's Health. And basically, she has 30 community health educators that she works with on a regular basis. And basically, these community health educators are trained with really basic knowledge, health knowledge. So as I said before, there's a huge shortage of doctors and medical professionals all over the developing world, not just Tanzania.
Right.
But what a lot of organizations do, in Empower Tanzania included, is train lay people with the really basic skills and knowledge to be able to go to their villages, which are often really remote and really disconnected from any sort of, you know, what we would call like a doctor's office or a hospital. But they're there, they have this basic knowledge, and they're able to share that with people. It's great for the CHEs, the community health educators, because not only do they have this education piece, but they gain this respect within their village. Their husbands respect them, and they're able to generate some income, so they get a stipend for this too. But one of the really cool things that Efra has done with these women is she trains them and equips them with these micro projectors. They cost less than $100. And the community health educators take these out into their villages, where often, as Efra tells us, there's not television. So people are really fascinated with this projector, this, you know, this image right. projecting on the wall. So they'll come to watch that. But they also come for the information. So each of these hits on a different health topic. I've watched Efra deliver talks on just safe water handling, on superstitions, on malaria, things like that. Just really basic information that people just simply didn't have access to before. So her program is a huge success. She tells us that she's reaching 16,000 people every month with
yeah.
these, you know, relatively small and inexpensive and easy programs. So it's incredible. I mean, she of course downplays her role, but she's an incredible woman in just changing lives all over the place.
Yeah, with the help of Empower Tanzania. I mean, that obviously needs to be said as well. One of my favorite parts was when you asked her about a mama bear.
Yeah, so I've said that Efrancia, she speaks Swahili. That's her first language. And there's no direct translation.
Right.
Basically, is what we found out. It's so funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny because, you know, anyone who's traveled internationally knows that moment where you assume this isn't a thing that people know about, you know, and certainly there's gotta be something they refer to there, that mama bear spirit. There's gotta be a phrase for it, but mm-hmm. How in the world would you ever get there together, you know?
Yeah, that was really fun. Just the whole conversation was really delightful. And like I said at the beginning, travel is amazing, whether you're traveling physically or if you're traveling through art, you know, through watching a movie or reading a book. It's just incredible to me how cool and transformative it is to travel so far and realize we're all the same. Like we say it all the time here. We're all in this together, but like, I don't think in a long time I've understood it at such a basic level as when I sat across from Ephra and like laughed and shook my head in agreement with so many things that she was saying. So it's my hope that that comes through in the podcast and in the interview, and that our mama bears will enjoy just getting a little bit of a piece of the life of a woman who's working and mothering in a really rural, remote part of Tanzania.
Yeah, it does. It does. You did a really great job. And my hope when you were kind of recommending this as an idea was that it would encourage our mama bears to really kind of get a glimpse of how they can serve in the world. Like, social justice is an issue for us, right? We want to encourage our mama bears to pour themselves into an issue. So if it's education, there's certainly a piece to be had about education, both here in America and then globally as well. If it's, you know, healthcare, same thing, right? So it's to find your passion and then go for it. Maybe you want to plan a party to raise money. Maybe you want, if you're an artist, maybe you want to, you know, create a piece and sell it and then give the money to an organization that you found and is really good. It might not be Empower Tanzania. Both you and I obviously believe very much in what they're doing. And I think our mama bears will too. Once they go to our show notes and kind of click around and see what you're doing there. But it's a big deal, you know, especially Jody mentioned it in our first kind of real podcast that nothing separates us from each other. We draw these fake geographical lines, but it's all a falsity. And you can tell that in your conversation with Ephra. She cares about her baby the way you and I care about ours. Mm-hmm. And so our mama bear really should cover everyone in the world, you know? And that doesn't mean you need to do everything. Like I said, you can create a piece of art and sell that. It doesn't mean you have to create everything and pour yourself into it all. But I really think it's a big part of the mama bear.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think we have clearly the capacity to love our own children and also love the children of the world. And I think it can be really exciting, you know, when you really find something that you're passionate about, you know, and just kind of matching your talents with an organization that's doing the work in the place that you're sort of most interested in. It can be such a beautiful experience for everyone involved.
Yeah, absolutely. So exciting. But you did such a great job. I can't wait for our mama bears to listen to this and just get a glimpse of what life is like in Tanzania. And also just hear you doing work, sister.
Well, thank you. It was such a pleasure, as I've said, talking to Efrancia. And I'm just so thankful that, again, we had a really long day. And if I had a 5-month-old baby at home, I'm not sure that I would have been so generous with my time. So I'm so grateful to her. We should mention that, you know, we're sitting in a hotel like restaurant. So there's some restaurant background noise. And, you know, I'm a little soft-spoken, as is Efrancia. Her first language is Swahili. So you might want to turn up the volume on this podcast just so that you can really hear what the conversation is about. Would you agree?
I would, but I got to tell you, and I think I texted you when I was listening to it, like the birds chirping and everything made my heart ache for Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It just made it ache. It's beautiful. So it's beautiful noises. It's not like a restaurant here in America. So
you'll
enjoy it. But let's get into it, should we? Let's hear from Efra.
All right, so I am here in Same, Tanzania, enjoying a really great week with the nonprofit that I currently contract with called Empower Tanzania, and I'm so excited because I'm here with a coworker who I only get to communicate with over email, usually. So here we are here in person, and so I'm excited that Efrancia and I will be able to have a conversation and just learn a little bit more about one another. So, Efra, tell us about your new baby boy. You recently became a mother.
Yeah, I am a mother of a boy of 5 months, maybe 2 or 3 weeks almost.
Mm-hmm.
And he's amazing. Yeah, he's cute and I love him so much.
Yeah, tell us his name.
Yeah, his name is Elisha.
Mm-hmm.
Elisha.
And where did his name come from?
Well, we just picked it from the Bible. Was the story of prophets. Mm-hmm. Like there was Elijah and then Elisha. So Elijah was the prophet after Elias. So we just loved the name, and my husband and I picked it and said, "I'm going to call our son."
Yeah. Hey, I love that. Our middle son is named Elihu, and that is from the Bible also, and it has that same kind of sound.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, what was giving birth like for you here in Tanzania? Tell us about your delivery.
Well, it was a little bit tough, but not so much because I really had a very short labor because I was in the work. I went in the work in the mornings. Like, I didn't feel any pain or any contraction or whatever. I just go in the work, and at 4, I get out of the office, and I went home, and I was so tired because I was walking around in the town, and so I just decided to go back home, and well, when I was home, I feel like I'm so tired, and I went to visit my mom. My mom lives nearby.
Okay.
And I went, I was tired. I thought it was just a normal tired because my due was not it.
Mm.
Yeah, so I was about 2 or 3 weeks into my due date. Yeah.
Okay, so you were early.
Yes, I was early. So
okay.
I stayed at my mom's house for maybe a half an hour, 1 hour, and I just go back home. And when I was home, I was like, why am I still feeling tired? I have relaxed a lot. I go to take a shower, and I didn't feel any easy.
Mm-hmm.
So I still was cooking my dinner. Well, my husband is away. He is not. He is in Dar es Salaam.
He was in Dar es Salaam working.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
And just real quick, your husband works for which organization?
He works for government.
Oh, for the government.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I cooked my dinner, and I was starting to feel like contraction, but I didn't know what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I eat my dinner just so lazy. I was tired,
mm-hmm.
you know. No pain yet, but I'm so, so tired.
Okay,
so
I have to stop you here because my sister-in-law, Tessie is her name, and she loves to cook and to eat. And so I know if I did not ask you what you ate for dinner that night, she would be really upset with me. So what were you having for dinner?
So I cooked mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes.
Yes.
Oh, good choice. And the mashed potatoes
here.
Yeah,
with green vegetables on it. So it was kind of, you know.
Okay, so thank you for that. Continue.
Okay. So after eating the food, I was kind of, I liked to, there was a TV series that was on that
mm-hmm.
week. And I would like to see the TV series. But I was not in the mood to see anything. So I decided to go to bed early, but I wasn't able to sleep. So I started to feel some contraction and say, oh my, this is, I should call my mom. So I give my mom a call. It was about maybe 9.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm confusing the okay. I was in here.
Okay.
Yeah, it was about 9, yes. And so I called my mom, and my mom rushed very quickly, say, maybe the baby is coming. I say, oh, no way, I'm still, I have maybe 2 or 3 weeks to go. I say, no, we have to go in the hospital now. No, I'm not supposed to, I can go now, can take a little bit of time. I say, no, you have to go now. So I just get ready very quickly, and my mom took my bag, my general bag, and we went to the hospital. So when I was going, it's like I'm starting to feel some contractions, and we reached in the hospital, and they give me a, you know, a test kind of, and they say, oh, the baby is so close, maybe you won't reach it this morning. I say, what? It was a, is that supposed to be that soon? I say, yes, yes, you are in a very last stage right now. Say, okay, so now I'm starting to feel the contraction every after maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and it was really high. It was not like a quiet pain, but I was feeling like pushing. Something was really hard on me. So. Mm-hmm.
And so do you have any medication to manage the pain, or do you not do that?
No, okay. we don't do that.
Okay.
Yes. So I get a bed, and so I stay there for, it was in the midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I stayed until it was about 2 in the morning, and it was, so I was so tired. It's like, you know, it's kind of being a mess, and my water broke. And about 3:30, I delivered the baby.
Okay.
The baby boy, Alicia.
Alicia.
I was so excited, though it's not an easy job. It was really hard. It was a lot of mess. But I was meaning to do it.
You were healthy, and he was healthy.
Yes.
Okay.
We were both healthy. So that morning, because mommy didn't stay in the hospital, they asked her to go home, that she had to come in the morning.
So she, were you by yourself
yes,
then?
Yes, I was by myself.
Oh my gosh, with like a doctor or a nurse or a midwife?
Yes,
two nurses.
Yes, so when I go to bed with my son, then I call my mom, I have delivery, or they say, what? Are you serious? Yes, I have a baby, a grandmother now, my son. He was so excited, and early in the morning, before even the hospital gates were opened, she was there, and she came, and we were so happy. So I called my husband. He didn't believe it. He said, no, I just need to see the picture of the baby. That's why I believe that you have a baby already.
Aww.
So I took some pictures and sent to him, so he was so excited.
Aww.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And I love the image of your mom coming so excited.
Yeah. She was, oh my God, like, oh no, it's happening.
Yeah. So is the way you delivered your baby in Tanzania, that's not the norm, right? Like that's a little, most women here deliver.
Is
it the norm?
Well, yes, that's how it is.
Okay.
Because mostly when you feel contraction, you have to go to the hospital. And though some are having a very long labor, some may take 2 or 3 days. Well, some may have contraction maybe a week or 2 weeks before the delivery day. So it may depend to a person, but most of them, they just go to the hospital and they. Well, most of them, their parents or relatives are not allowed to be in the delivery room. So most of women, they deliver with the nurse or midwife by themselves.
So had your husband been in town, could he have been with you?
No.
No? Okay. Yeah. Would you have wanted him to be with you?
Well, you have to see what's happening. We have some good time together until we find delicious. So Yeah, well, I would love him to be in the room with me.
So, what has surprised you about becoming a mother?
Well, we are having, it means we have more responsibilities Yeah, so I used to work here in the morning by myself and do my things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes say, I don't want to do this now, I'll do it later. Mm-hmm. But now with the baby in the house, you can leave some pending activities. Like if the baby needs to eat, means mama needs to eat now. So it's not like you go to work and come and feed the baby, no. So it's a bit of challenge. It's kind of challenging because you have to do everything on time. Mm-hmm. You have to get to work early. You have to make sure at home I left my son well-fed with all the clothes clean, with everything in order. So yes, that's kind of challenging. But we enjoy it.
How many weeks or months did you stay at home before you came back to work?
3 months.
3 months.
Yes.
And now that you're back at work at Empower Tanzania, who cares for your son?
Well, I have a man. We used to call them dadas.
Dadas?
Dada.
Okay,
yes,
dada.
Like sister, yeah, you know. So.
And what do you call it now? Nun, you said?
Yes, it's a nun.
A nanny.
Nanny, yes, a nanny, sorry.
A nanny. Yes. Sorry. I'm familiar, a nanny.
Okay. Yes, so she's staying with my son, and well, it is not easy to find someone to stay with your child when you go to work, and well, it's like a fortune that I found her. She was living with someone else, but there are so many work for her, and other owner was kind of abusive to her, so she decided to go back home. So when I have one of my CHE that tell me there is a girl here from town that she can take care of your kid. She's a nice girl, but she just have some trouble with the other owner. So I say, okay, she can come live with me. So before I started going to the office, I stay with her for 1 month. I agree with her that she can take care, good care of my son. So,
good.
Yes.
And so now she lives with you.
Yes, she lives with me. Yes.
Okay, so you mentioned that she was referred to you by a CHE, which is a community health educator. And so talk to us a little bit about just the work that you do for Empower Tanzania. Maybe explain what a community health educator is and kind of how you got to where you are.
Okay, so community health educators are women. It's a group of women. They are about 33 in my program. That the program is Improving Women Health Program. So this is a group of women. We train them on health topics, different health topics, so that they get training and they get equipment and they go to their village and they educate people in their villages. So this is a group of women. We teach them about safe water, how to make your water safe and clean, how to wash your hand. We teach them about nutrition, about malaria prevention, the other health topics. So. And then we give them a projector. It's like a micro projector, rechargeable projector. And in the projector, we put an SD card, which we load the videos, and when they go to their communities, they show the videos to the groups of people. So it may depend, some can go to school, to clinic, dispensaries, or to church. As far as the group, there is a group of people, even several households, they may come together and they can show the videos. So this program started since 2011.
Okay, yeah. And I've seen you, not on this trip, but last year when I was here, I've seen you give one of these presentations. And what I remember is just the use of really simple technology was fantastic. Just this little projector that you just showed the screen, you know, the wall was the screen. And what else I remember is that it was packed. Like people were practically on top of each other, but I remember people were looking in the windows and in the doors just to listen and to learn. And so how many people are you reaching with these community health educators? How many people are you reaching each month? How are things changing because of the work you do?
Yeah, so up to now we have been able to reach about 16,000 people in a month.
16,000.
Yes.
That is incredible.
So when we started in 2013, the first month of presentation, we get 5,000 people.
Oh, my
only
gosh.
5,000.
Which is still a lot, though,
yes,
really.
Yes, it's a lot. So when we keep on educating, so people are kind of, yeah, this is what we need to learn. This is the good material. This is good information. Mm-hmm. We need to learn more. So the number keep on increasing every month until now. We are having 16,000 people, and people are enjoying the videos. But also, what you help us with this new technology is like, in many villages, a lot of families do not have like television to watch or whatever. So most of them, they have radios to listen to,
okay,
maybe to get some information or news. But they don't have a television. So when they see the video, it's kind of something that excites them. It's like, hey, I want to see it. So we get their attention through watching the video. So while they are watching those videos, means they are getting education, they are getting information. And from that, you have been able to get a lot of people. And we are changing lives in one way or another.
You are changing lives.
Yes, we are.
Amazing. So what do you think of the video presentations that you've given? Are there videos or topics that you think are just really important at the top of the list that everyone should know?
Well, we are having in the government, there are what they call top 4 diseases, that the diseases that have been diagnosed mostly maybe in a year, and maybe have shown many deaths to the people in that year. So one of the diseases is malaria, we got diarrhea, we got HIV AIDS, and for instance, we are having a malaria prevention video. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are seeing that, and we are having hand washing and safe and clean water. I mean, see here, people can prevent themselves from diarrhea and cholera.
Yes, okay.
So I think this is very important because diarrhea can kill a person in no time, maybe about 48 hours, someone can die from diarrhea or cholera due to dehydration.
48 hours.
Yes.
Okay.
So watching this video means it is helping people a lot to change their lives and to decide what kind of life they want. Because washing your hand is something very simple. Mm-hmm. But if you don't do it so often, you are in the big risk of contaminating the bacteria and you can fall ill. Mm-hmm. So when you teach someone to wash their head, this means you are preventing someone from swallowing bacteria and getting diarrhea or other diseases.
Okay, so are there any stories that you've heard or that you know about? I know you have a large group, 33 community health educators. What are some of the stories that you're hearing?
Well, they are having a lot and a lot of stories. Like one of the CHE in Vunta, her name is Minael. In her village, it's like the health center or hospital is far away. So a lot of people came to her to ask for advice if someone is having a problem. Mm-hmm. But also, she shows different videos to schools and the teaching the school so excited and ask her to present at least once per week. Every week she should come in the school and teach the kids about maybe nutrition or safe water or hand washing. So this is really a good success because when you teach children say about something means that they will grow up with that thing until they are adult. Mm-hmm. And most of the children they are learning a lot and they are insisting to their parents. And when she is going around, the parents ask, "You are the one who is teaching our children about boiling water and doing those kind of things." Say, "Yes, you have to boil water." So the children at home, they are telling their parent to boil the drinking water because maybe a parent have not heard of that, but the children are the one to insist that, "Mom, you have to boil water before we drink." So that's
interesting.
Yes.
So it sounds like if I'm hearing you correctly, the community health educators are not only educating, but are people coming to them personally for kind of health advice and wellness?
Yes, they do. For instance, in a topic like family planning, we educated people in the community about family planning. So a lot of people, they understand the material. Now they want to get maybe an injection or the pills or whatever. So they come to her and they say, okay, I can take you to the hospital, the doctor, and the doctor can give you whatever you want because we can't give you any pills or anything sure. without consulting the doctor. So they are taking people to the doctor. They have been referring a lot of people to the hospital to get different aids.
That's fantastic. Yes. I love hearing that. And I know we're talking today, we're in a training session mm-hmm. for women who really live in remote areas yes. of Tanzania. Mm-hmm. And one of the doctors that we were working with said it's much easier to prevent than to cure.
Yes.
And so obviously these community health educators are just that idea in action.
Yes. Yeah.
Why were you interested in doing community development work? And do you find it fulfilling as just a human being to help others? Or what is it that makes you, you know, spend less time with your baby and come to work and help other people?
Well, I like helping other people, just to say that, because in my studies, well, I study about projective planning and management. That means I have to work with the community. All the projects are community-based. So I study about community-based project.
Mm-hmm. Community-based projects,
yes,
okay.
Yes, community-based project. And, well, I think I'm enjoying my job a lot because I like to see someone have received a certain information and is helping them to change their lives. It's mm-hmm. like when you educate someone about nutrition and that to eat in a healthier style, and someone find it good information for themselves to change their own lives, mm-hmm. that makes me very happy. And as a mother, well, I'm doing what I can to be between my family and my work. You know, I have to balance between the two of them that I may not depend on one and I can fail the other side. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to make sure that I do my duties as an employee with Empower Tanzania, but also I have to take care of my son. So I'm trying to balance my time and make sure I attend to my son and to my work.
So many of our listeners are nodding their heads right now. Just like, yes, I get it. Yeah, because so many of us, I think, who, you know, are really passionate about mm-hmm. being good moms, but also really passionate about doing, yes. being really useful in the world outside our home,
yes.
it's a constant sort of juggling act. Yes. Like, we're always trying to figure out the yes. balance between those things. So.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It really is. It's a universal, I think, yeah. feeling that many women.
Yeah, we do the same because all women around the world, it comes to a point that we all have the same responsibilities because we are all mothers. We all want to develop our careers and to make sure our job are done properly and to have a good, to achieve our objectives in our organization or company. So mm-hmm. it comes to a point that all women around the world have the same mission, kind of.
Absolutely. Amen, sister. amen, Dada. Right? Slowly. So, what, just a few more questions. So you're an amazing professional. You do incredible work. I've been so lucky just to witness you in action. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're an amazing mom because you light up. Yeah, when you talk about your son, you just light up the room. And that's hard. That's you're busy because of that. You're doing a lot of things. But what are some things that are just for you, that you as Efrancia, that kind of fill you up and give you kind of the energy and just the what you need to move about your day? For instance, I love to read mm-hmm. and I'll go sit in a coffee shop. And if I can just read and drink coffee for an hour, mm-hmm. I feel nourished. Like, I feel like, okay, I can take on the week. Like, I'm ready now. So are there things like that that you do here in Tanzania to take care of yourself?
No. I can be honest with you. Not much. Before I have my son, I used, like, maybe I can, well, go somewhere that is cool and quiet and can stay there maybe with some friends chat and have some good time.
Mm-hmm.
But now, the main responsibility is to calm my son down. Like, he's not like an easy baby, you know.
Yeah. And he's little. He's so little. You'll get that chance again.
Yeah. So most of the time, we just have to play around. He like go outside, stay, so get some fresh air, and go inside, play a little bit. So, well, that makes me full of energy nowadays. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm kind of, I like it doing that. I do.
So we have an expression in the United States, and I've never heard it translated to Swahili, so I don't know if this is going to make sense, but when we see a woman who is really passionate about anything, we call her a mama bear. So like when the mama bear is activated, like there's just this force, like this amazing female force that like comes out and just can get stuff done, like surprises us in the amount of power that she holds. So, you know, some people's mama bears come out when like their kids are being teased or when they see a problem. A lot of our listeners, their mama bear would come out if they knew that, you know, children here don't automatically go to public school. Like, it's a big deal for a kid to get to go to school. So that would be something that would like arouse a mama bear. And I know, because I know you, just like, I know you have a mama bear in you. Okay, so maybe you didn't know that.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
So what are the things that makes your mama bear come out in terms of the things you see throughout the day and the work that you do? What is it that drives you? Like, what is it you see and you're like, I can fix that. I'm going to do something about that.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. Maybe I'm too tired.
You're too tired. My mama bear's tired. She needs a nap.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, well, I'm exhausted a little bit. Yeah, we have been a long day, haven't we?
It's been a long day. Okay, so let me ask you this. So what are things that need to be improved in the work you do? If you had more funding, more support, what are things that you're sure you could get done here?
Well, in my program specifically, yes.
In your general program. Let's talk about just the women in your program.
Well, if we get more funding, we can train some few women to be more independent, you know. They are working with the program, but at the end of the program, where we phase out, and where a lot of things, though they educate someone, but at the end, it's like when there's no more fund, we will not be able to do much about maybe the presentation and all that. But if the women are maybe trained on specific activities, like maybe some income generating activities, that will help them to contribute the program, but also this will help when the program fades out, means someone is having a skill, a certain skill that can do to earn maybe money or whatever. So training someone to have a certain skill, it will help them at the end that even the program is not there, but they have something to do for their own.
I see. Yes. I see. Okay. All right. That's terrific. Anything else we need to talk about? I mean, I feel like we could go on forever.
No, we have to go home to McDina, you know.
Thank you so
much. Okay. I know it's been one day. Yeah. And I know that when we come from the United States, you are so busy. And yeah. I am so appreciative. And I can't wait to share with my friends back home. Okay. Just, you're incredible, Afra. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I didn't say that.
So, Mama Bears, today we dare you to look for what we share. There's something so powerful about realizing that someone who doesn't appear to be like you in any way, shape, or form actually is. As mothers and as women, we share so much. We bear so many of the same struggles, have the same hopes, even the same habits. Whether we live in East Africa or Iowa or New York or Nice, we are bonded by our humanity. Seek it out in your sisters. Look for the things that bind us. Learn what you can about those walking through the world with you. Maybe you'll experience this in an encounter with your neighbor that you've not previously moved past the basic hello on the street. Maybe you'll uncover keys to human nature in the next novel that you choose to read. Or maybe it was through listening to Efrancia speak to us about motherhood from a hotel restaurant a world away. Look for the commonalities and celebrate them, and then allow such realizations to soften you and transform you in big and small ways, nudging you toward a life of love and compassion.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Mama Bears, for sharing your Monday with us. We really, really appreciate it. If you could like us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just join the conversation. Give us some sweet, sweet love about Efra, you know? And Leslie can make sure that the people at Empower Tanzania relay the message to her, too, about how much we appreciate her taking the time to share with us. And then remember, $50 gift card to Amazon if you leave a review on iTunes. If you have to use some kind of weird random login name, make sure you send us a message either on one of the social media channels or on our email, mamabeardares@gmail.com, and we will include you in that as well. But for now, have an awesome week.
Have a great week, Mama Bears. Thanks for listening.